Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.
This is NPR News, and I'm Angela Davis. It is time to talk about money and the economy. NPR senior economics contributor Chris Farrell joins me on Mondays to get us caught up on the big developments in the recovery of the economy and other money matters. Good morning to you, Chris.
Good morning, and what a wonderful conversation.
Yes, the first half hour of our show, we talked about poverty and the volunteer work that is happening to address poverty and getting people out of poverty. Any thoughts on what you heard from our callers and guests?
Well, one of the things that I just thought about is, you know, moving beyond good words, good thoughts, good attitudes to concrete action and the importance of concrete action. And when Guru said about, you know, it's great that you can walk into a restaurant, but you also need to be able to afford the food. So it's just about, you know, how deep inclusiveness and equity and diversity goes and how it really does affect the way that we think about community and the economy.
And what, you know, what is really sitting with me is this thought that what we as individuals, what we can do.
Yeah.
Right? And we don't have to feel hopeless.
Yes, you can make a difference.
Well, Chris, what are economists keeping an eye on right now? What are they talking about?
Well, I think probably the hot topic, Angela, is the debt limit. I mean, you keep hearing about the debt limit and the debt ceiling, and there's all this negotiations going on in Washington with the various bills, the $3.5 trillion bill, the infrastructure bill. But there's this debt limit. Republicans are united. They don't want to be raising the debt limit. And there was this analysis that comes out of the Bipartisan Policy Center. And it says, look, if we don't act on the debt limit, sometime between October 15th and November 4th, because no one can really say when, we'll hit the X date. And the X date is when the Treasury won't have enough cash to pay the bills. This is insane. This is crazy. The politics of the debt limit are fierce, but the economics of it are quite simple, which is raise the debt limit. The economy can't take that kind of upset.
So how should we feel about this? Should we? Because it sounds, is it political? Is this a real concern?
It is solely political because, you know, if you go into a quiet room with anybody, they'll agree, look, we shouldn't be doing this. But it has to do with the politics of Republicans want to be as they go into the midterm elections, want to be saying, look, the Democrats are big spenders. They raise the debt limit. And so the politics are fierce, but the economics are really simple. Angela, U.S. Treasuries, they back every single retirement savings plan in the United States. They are considered the riskless security. To put that into default, that is not good.
Well, Chris, I know that that this is a big week for you personally. The second season of your podcast is launching today.
Yes.
In case folks didn't know, Chris co-hosts a podcast. It's called Small Change, Money Stories from the Neighborhood. And we're also going to bring in today, Chris, your co-host, Twyla Deng, is with us. Good morning, Twyla.
Good morning.
Hi. Thanks for coming in and being with us. So, Chris, first, tell us about Small Change. What is this podcast about?
You know, I think what this podcast is about is we're learning. The listener is learning from people who are living on low and unstable incomes how to manage their money in ways that they can do accomplish the goals we all want to accomplish, which is to start a business, own a home, educate your children, have some financial security. And if there's one message that comes out or one theme that comes out of the interviews for small change, it's really the importance of community, of people getting together, family, extended family, a group of people coming together, pooling their resources, and how smart and collaborative people living on a low and unstable income are with their money.
Get creative.
That's right.
Yes, we can. And Twyla, let's jump right into the first episode of season two. We meet Denise and Danny Peratos, I believe, the co-founders of Harvest Nation. Twyla, what is Harvest Nation?
So Harvest Nation is an attempt by this family to change the way that we do our agriculture here in Minnesota. They're attempting to build an aeroponic farm. And it's remarkable how much they've been able to pull together just on their own resources to do something that could not just benefit themselves and their community. They're a part of the Boys Fort Band of Ojibwa, but they could do something that could impact the entire state.
Well, we have a clip of the conversation we can play for our listeners. This is Denise speaking. But Twyla, would you set it up for us before we listen to about a minute of it?
Yeah. So in talking to them, you find out really quickly that these women are really impressive, not just because they had a great idea, but they're all holding down like full-time jobs and they're all doing, they're doing so much. And we know that when you have an innovative idea and you come with the actual things to back it up, normally you would be given money hand over fist to get something like that out into the world. But they're struggling to find financing. And we asked them really why that's such a challenge.
Let's listen to Denise.
I think the challenge is what we've faced all our lives. We do not look like the face of American business. You know, we don't. And as women, I always felt my body type betrayed my mind because I've always been large-chested. And that does not look like somebody who goes to MIT, you know, or has that type of brain, you know. So, and the way we're brought up, too, and is to be, to not be, well, you know, what is, bougie, it would be the term now.
Right, exactly.
Now, there's laughter there, Twyla, but this is a real deal. I mean, appearance plays a role and as, you know, as you're out there trying to, you know, do business dealings.
Absolutely. And imagine already having, feeling like you have a stigma against you and that right. You don't look like what you can, what people would consider the face of American business. And then layer that with you come from a background or you come from a community where you don't have a lot of resources. So showing up places and say maybe not being dressed the part or mm-hmm. showing up in a male dominated area and being a woman who doesn't look like what you would expect, you know, like a tech nerd or someone to look like mm-hmm. that makes it 10 times more difficult to cut past the surface appearance and get to the fact that this is a very smart woman who has a very creative idea and deserves to be supported.
Chris, how does Denise deal with the extra challenges facing her as she goes on to become an entrepreneur?
That's right. I mean, what is so striking is how determined they are to build this business despite all these obstacles. I mean, as Twyla is saying, you know, they're native, they're women, they're in rural Minnesota. And it's hard enough as it is to start a business, but they keep doing their research. They keep doing their work. They keep reaching out to different organizations in northern Minnesota, in rural Minnesota, you know, to try and create a network here. And, you know, they're moving ahead, but the obstacles, they just are huge. And Twyla and I have talked about this. We feel, and I think it, if they were here in the Twin Cities, you know, money would be just being shoveled at them.
So I know Denise and Danny participated in something called the Minnesota Cup. It's a competition in Minnesota for startups. And so what was that experience like for them?
Well, on the one hand, it was wonderful because one year they were semifinalists and then another year they were finalists and they got noticed and, you know, they got some support. But Then they also talked about their experience there, where people would try to introduce them to people who had some money, people who were there to try and figure out who to back. And that's where that they did not look like the face of American business came in, that people would kind of look at them. They were polite, but they would just quickly drift off. And there was no follow-up. So the Minnesota Cup was a forum for them, but the interactions were cold. The interactions were, well, I don't quite get what's going on here. You're not the kind of person we would normally back.
Did they place, though? Were they finalists
or
semifinalists?
They were semifinalists and finalists and in 2 different years. And, they did get some support there. But again, it was those barriers, those obstacles. And by the way, it's not easy being an entrepreneur as it is. And then you add these additional barriers on top of that.
All right. We have another excerpt from Small Change that we can play. And Chris, can you set up what we're about to hear?
Well, this came as a total surprise. And this is reflects how they're classic entrepreneurs. Anybody who started a business is going to be able to identify with Denise, because when you're starting your own business, typically what you have to do, you have to do on the side. You have to do on the weekends. You have to do it in the evening. And what I was not expecting is what Denise is doing to pay her bills. And then when she's not doing her job, then she's working on Harvest Nation.
Okay, let's listen.
But the mines paid more than what I made in New York City. And what I like is I've been on a 4-on, 4-off schedule. So I get technically a 5-day weekend, 2 of them a month, and a 3.5-day weekend a month. So that gives me a lot of chunks of time to be able to do this. And they don't pay for my brain there, and they don't want my brain there.
So what do you do there?
I'm a steel worker, and I'm a furnace attendant. So that's... it's been tough on my body, though. You know, it's a lot of hard physical labor. But the good thing is, when I leave there, I don't think about it when I come home. You know, so I have all this time to use my brain for what I want to use my brain for.
Wow, talk about perseverance! So, explain this. She kept working, but she.
She's working in the mines as a steel worker, and then when she has her time off, they're working to create Harvest Nation. So, you know, and so many entrepreneurs can identify with that, but it is still remarkable. Not many of us, not many people who are entrepreneurs are working as a steel worker, right? And then on their spare time are continuing to research. And one of the things that really comes out of our conversations with Denise in particular is how much research she has done and how much with this aquaponics, you know, you're creating a system. Mm-hmm. So it's the lighting, it's the nutrients, it's, you know, how everything interacts together. So there's a lot of research, there's a lot of thought, and yet at the same time, she's working as a steel worker in order to pay the bills.
I don't want to give it all away because we want people to listen to the podcast, to that episode. But Twyla, when you have an interview like that, I know, you know, when I talk to people and it's very moving, I mean, like, what do you learn personally? Like, what impact does it have on you when you hear someone share a story like that?
I usually tell Chris the real issue we have is I'm not the journalist of the two of us. So I'm always trying to engineer it. I'm like, no, we have to make the story great because they deserve money and maybe a funder will hear it. Or, mm-hmm. And honestly, I'm always struck by when I hear someone's determination or oftentimes in these interviews, we wind up at some point where everybody's almost in tears because you can just see people are trying really hard to live and they're trying really hard to build and to grow for themselves and the people that they love. And when you see obstacles that you know don't have to exist, it just makes me more determined in my work to make sure that we're doing a better job of telling their story and getting their story in front of as many people as possible.
It's a common assumption that people living on low incomes or unstable incomes are not smart with their money. But I know you both disagree with that. Twyla, why do you disagree with that?
Because I have not encountered more thoughtful, clever, innovative, interesting people in my entire life. And the thing that the storytelling has managed to do for me is to reinforce and bring up, it almost like it makes it bubble up all of the life experience that I've had with people that I love and care about. Chris and I hear stories, and then we'll go back afterwards and we'll say, I remember my mom used to do that, or my grandma used to do that, or my uncle used to do that. And I think oftentimes we have moved so far away from what success can look like if the marker isn't millions of dollars and some sort of large ownership of things, that real success can be you've used your resources in the best way that you have, in the most innovative way that you can. And now you and your family are, you know, you're not just surviving, you're thriving. You're not just getting by, you're living, and you're sometimes and oftentimes living well. And even the definition of what success looks like is very different when you're talking more about what kind of quality of life you want, as opposed to how am I going to buy that house or car or other thing.
And Chris, I'm curious about, you know, what you have learned from the first season and now the second season of Small Change. I mean, you're a tall, middle-aged white guy with a head full of gray hair. When you talk about money, people probably stop and listen. But have you seen, you know, folks react differently to people like Denise?
Well, I've learned so much. And one of the things that I've learned, as I mentioned earlier, is how important it is to reorient the way that we think about money and wealth. And what these conversations have done is put the focus on community. So I write personal finance columns. I talk about personal finance, a lot of times about what can I do and what should I be doing. And one of the things that I have really learned throughout these Small Change interviews, and we just echo everything that Twyla just talked about, but one of the things I really learned is it's about people getting together and working together to solve their problems. And in so many conversations in our broader society, when we're thinking about people who are living on a low and unstable income, or we're thinking about neighborhoods where there are lots of people living there with low and unstable incomes, there's a big focus on the deficits, Angela. There's always this conversation about the deficits, and there's not enough focus on the assets, about the experience, the skill, the knowledge, the community cooperation, the creative collaborations that are going on. We look at it through the lens of money. And which I think is a really important lens. So it is really the importance of community. And there is this tagline that it was Twyla came up with it, but it's the right tagline, which is that community is the best investment a person can make. And that is not a tagline in the personal finance literature, but it should be.
All right, well, let's talk about another episode in the second season of the podcast, Small Change, Money Stories from the Neighborhood, hosted by Chris Farrell and Twyla Dang. You two went to Wilmer. Tell me who you met up with there in Wilmer, Twyla.
So we met up with a mother and daughter, Esperanza and Stephanie, and they own a bar and grill called Spurs. And you have to hear the episode, because to see what they've built and to hear them tell you how they literally, with their own two hands and YouTube as a resource and friends to back them up, they built an entire restaurant that is not only made it through the pandemic, but is thriving and talking about expansion. And they're just remarkable. They're remarkable, remarkable women. Esperanza came here from Mexico with a young daughter and built a life.
And so they did it very, very slowly, right? And created, I think, Chris, you shared a little bit about this, of just like just how tenacious they were and how patient they were, but they did it.
Oh, but they did it. And Esperanza was working for at two restaurants, and the owners were going to retire. And they worked with her. You know, part of it was sweat equity. Part of it was some money changing hands. So she got some equipment. But then it took like 4 or 5 years just sort of building it out, getting everything done. The electricity was done to code. The plumbers were done to code. But then when they were doing things like the walls, and the walls had to be pretty soundproof so that the people next door, if music was being played, the people next door wouldn't be bothered in their business. And as Twyla said, they would go on YouTube, but they also knew people in the community that would work with them and help them. And so, again, it gets back to that sweat equity, patience, sort of do-it-yourself mentality, but also tapping into people that they knew and people who believed in them and were willing to impart their knowledge and help them build or this restaurant that is really quite remarkable.
And Twyla, before I let you go, anything else you want to tell us? One more story that you'll be highlighting during the second season of Small Change?
Well, we're excited because this season, the first season, we were only in Minnesota. So we told Minnesota stories and we're happy and proud to do that. But the second season, we wanted to move further into the middle of the country. I'm always talking about how we need to tell stories from the top of Minnesota to the bottom of Texas. And there are stories to be told there that we don't highlight enough when we talk about the American experience. So we're going to be telling some stories out of Texas. We have some stories set in Iowa. When we were working really diligently on some stories out of Louisiana, but obviously with the hurricane, we'll be speaking to those folks, but we'll probably postpone it for a bit. And we've got some great stories coming out of Denver too. So we just have more of a chance to highlight what I love most about this show, the spirit of community and the spirit of how when people get together and they use their resources, good things happen.
Mm-hmm. What we can do. Well, our time is up for today. I want to thank Chris Farrell, NPR Senior Economics Contributor, who joins me every Monday, as well as Twyla Dang, your co-host for Season 2 of the NPR podcast, Small Change, Money Stories from the Neighborhood. You can find out more on our website, nprnews.org. This conversation today was produced by Maya Backstrom. Be safe, everyone, and I will talk to you tomorrow morning at 9. Thanks for listening to a recording of my live radio show on NPR News. A reminder, if you want to catch the show in real time, tune in and call in at a new time, 9 a.m. weekdays on NPR News.